back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And the reason why we give you our website is that's our online headquarters. Go over there, get a backstage pass, and watch, listen, hear the history of the show, the future of the show, the present of the show, the ins, the outs, the upsides, and the downs, and all of that. There's no better way to see the mindset of this show than to actually watch it. We have a two-tier subscription program now. You can get our all-access pass. You can get audio only. And audio only is fantastic. But when you watch the show, you can really see me going through some changes, man, during these breaks.
You're going to have a heart attack. You're going to have a heart attack.
Why do you say that?
Well, Phil, let me...
Go ahead, General.
You look like the world's most under-pressure man that I've ever seen. I've been in combat.
All right, General...
No, hold on for a minute. I've been in combat. I've been pinned down on bridges. I've had shells landing around me. I have been wetting my pants, trying to bury myself in asphalt, praying for my mother to come and rescue me. But I've never, I don't think, looked like I've been under as much pressure as you do when you do this radio show. And if you don't find some relief, you are going to have a heart attack or a stroke, as God is my witness.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, that's great. What about you, Robert?
Well, it doesn't look like me.
Well, if I have a heart attack or a stroke, it'll be on camera, so that's good, huh?
Don't kid about those kinds of things, Phil.
But what else do you want me to do? You know, I mean,
I'm just telling you, young man, I've been in situations where I would have rather, be sitting playing poker with the devil, sitting on hot charcoal briquettes playing poker with the devil and drinking napalm than be you.
Well, thank you.
I don't mean that personally. I'm saying the way you deal with pressure.
You don't deal with the pressure very well, and you're always upset about something. You're always upset about someone in your life.
Well, unfortunately, I've had people... Well, I don't want to get into it, you know.
No, go ahead, get into it. I think he's bitching.
Yeah, you love to see a man twist in the breeze, don't you, Dickman?
Huh? What's that mean, twist in the breeze?
It's an old expression. It's an old expression. It means hanging in the balance. It means not having anywhere to, no one to lean on, nowhere to go. You're about ready to just drop off the edge of the cliff. That's what twisting in the breeze means to me, anyway. No, I mean it is what. What are you talking about, man? Giving people all these bad ideas. I happen to like what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you like what you do for a living, man. You'd rather be like caked out, though, right?
Yeah, that's it, Mr. Henry. Wouldn't you rather be caked out?
What do you mean, wouldn't I rather be caked out?
He means, wouldn't...
I know what he means. Wouldn't I rather have enough money to just be sitting on my ass?
Yeah.
Who says I don't?
Well, then why don't you sit on your ass?
Because I like doing what I'm doing, you know? I like doing what I'm doing. One of the reasons why I do what I do is because I feel I owe it, well...
Yeah, you feel you owe it to who? What, business partners or something?
Let me put it to you this way. I do what I do because I like it. Now, the business end of these things, which is now something that I'm very, very familiar with, you know, this new economy, folks, as you all know, everybody's an entrepreneur. Everyone's starting a business. Everyone's employing people now. It isn't like the old days, you know, where they're, well, I'm going to go work for a company. 9 times out of 10, the company is you, you know. That's what's happening in the American economy today. That's what's happening today. There are more and more startup businesses probably now. And the state that I live in, the state of California, until recently, it may still be true, leads the nation in startup businesses. Now, that's great. You know, it's great working for yourself. But the headaches, that's what you guys are seeing, see? You think that's something that I don't like. I like it, but there's a lot of headaches, you know? There's a lot of stuff you got to think of. You know, it's like back when you were just working for somebody else, if there was something wrong, you'd say, hey, Joe, there's something wrong. Can you fix it and I'll see you Monday? I'm going to go out and get drunk and dance with my girlfriend and do what I do as a, you know, party person. Yeah, okay. Now there's something wrong, so when I get off the air, I better go fix it or find out what's wrong with it, and you're working all the time. That's just the way it is.
Well, they say that, like, the restaurant business is a 24/7 job.
Well, now that's something I know something about because my father owned a restaurant when I was growing up in Canandaigua.
You said your father had a dairy farm.
What's that?
You said your father had a dairy farm.
Yeah, you did. So a father had a dairy farm up in Canandaigua, New York.
Yes, that's right. He had a dairy farm, and then he decided, well, if you have a dairy farm, what do you think you're going to do?
I don't know. What are you
going to
do?
You're going to open up a restaurant, so you've got, you know, somewhere to sell the milk and the cheeses.
Okay, so he had a dairy farm and a restaurant.
Yes. And I know he was working at that restaurant 24 hours a day.
Well, who ran the dairy farm?
Well, that's the point. You see, the dairy and the milk got sour. I don't know. Maybe my mother. But my mother was taking care of me. And I was a 24-hour-a-day job. I know that.
Well, your mother must have been running the dairy, General, if your father was at the restaurant.
No, it's impossible because my mother took care of me, and I demanded all of her time. I was a very precocious child. I was also very intelligent. And the things I did and the things I wanted to see, the places I wanted to go, the games I wanted to play, the clothes I wanted to buy, all consumed every moment of her time.
God, what a spoiled brat you must have been.
I beg your pardon?
What a spoiled brat you must have been. All that time she had to devote to it.
Don't she buy all the clothes and everything for you?
No, wait. You're a spoiled brat if you don't deserve the attention. But if you do deserve the attention, because the adults see in you the possibility of a progeny, you see.
What's that? What is it?
A progeny? A progeny? Would you get me some water, please?
Yes, sir.
A progeny. So you were like a child.
Yes, I was an infant terrible, or however you say that.
No. It's called infant terrible. That means a rowdy, crazy kid. You were a wild, crazy.
I don't think that's what that means.
Well, thank you, Mr. French.
Margaret, you don't speak as you. I speak more French than you speak. Okay, just because you know how to do the accent.
It's called infant terrible. Isn't it? Well, is it?
No, I always thought it was terrible infant.
Terrible infant. So what does that mean?
That means the kid's a turd.
There you go, Margaret. It means the kid's a turd.
What a jackass. You guys have got about as much education as Mo Howard.
Mo Howard? How do you know? Maybe Mo Howard went to Dartmouth or something.
I don't know.
By the way, all right, we'll be right back on a world-famous felony show. I got a very sad story to tell because you reminded me of it, the Mo Howard line. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Oh, we're breaking a little bit early here, Nikki, but you know how it is, you know. We'll be right back. Hey, Stan. What do you mean, what is this? This is The Cheater by Bob Cuban.
Bob what?
Bob Cuban.
Let me look at that. Bob Cuban and the Hitman.
I remember Bob Cuban.
It's not Bob Cuban. It's Bob Cuban.
It seems every day now.
This was the guy that he did the play-by-play of the baseball.
No, that's Tony Kubek.
Well, what is with all these Cuban...
That's Bob Cuban?
No, man. Bob Cuban was the name of this group.
He's gonna build you up. Just to let you die.
Now listen to the lead singer. I want to direct your attention to the guy that's singing.
All of you girls had better stay inside your door.
All right. This guy, his name was Walter. God, I hope I got the poor man's name right. Walter Lang. That man, Walter Lang, was at the center of one of the biggest, well, I wouldn't say one of the biggest, but it was certainly a very, very intriguing murder mystery that went on for years. For about 5, 6, 7 years until they finally found out what happened. That guy singing there, this man, Mr. Lang, went missing one night. His wife said to the cops, I don't know where he is. He went out. He didn't go out with a jacket on. It was raining. It was windy. We had an argument. You know, yeah, it was bad. And he said, to hell with you. And he walked out. And I haven't seen him since, officer. And the cops are like, wow, that's pretty sad. You know, wonder where he went. They can't find him. In the meantime, there's a guy across town whose wife dies in an automobile accident. And I think actually the wife died before this poor man, Mr. Lang. I really owe it to the guy to get the name right. Why do I not do this?
Barney, you could have had me look it up, and I would have looked up Bob Cuban.
Yeah, that's fine, but don't fall in love with the name Bob Cuban. I'm looking for the name of the guy that was the lead singer. Anyway, across town is a guy, and his wife dies in an automobile accident. Very tragic. It was terrible, and he's very sad, and his son was sad, and, you know, it's just a sad thing. Well, the cops are not putting these two together until they find out something, because they're looking for this man, Mr. Lang, and they want to find out what happened to him. Now, see, I got the wrong guy, Walter Lang. I'm going to find out the name of the singer in the Bob Cooper, because Walter Lang was a film director. Walter Lance was the guy that invented Woody Woodpecker, bud.
No, that's the guy that got...
Walter what? Scott? Walter Scott. Thank you very much, Nikki.
No, it's Walter Lance.
That's the guy that invented Woody Woodpecker.
Ain't that the same guy singing?
No, it ain't the same guy singing.
Well, he could have invented Woody... All right.
Yeah, that's it. He invented Woody Woodpecker and then said, you know what I really want to do is sing R&B.
Well, I don't see what's so funny about that.
Oh, come on. Walter Lance was the guy that did Woody Woodpecker, okay?
What do you mean he did Woody Woodpecker? Phil, you've got to be careful with the way you say. I don't mean to be funny. Shut your hole.
Are you trying to be funny? Because that's what it sounds like to me.
No, I'm not. When you say Walter Lance did Woody Woodpecker, you've got a lot of filthy minds out there.
Yeah, okay, folks. I don't mean that Walter Lance had sex with Woody Woodpecker, which is a fictitious creature. I'm saying that Walter Lance was a guy that did this whole thing with Woody Woodpecker.
Well, that sounds worse.
He created him.
Didn't his wife do the voice?
Yes, Walter Lance's wife did do the voice. Yeah.
Well, that's even weirder.
I don't know what to tell you about that.
So you're talking about that Woody Woodpecker that went... You know,
No. I know the Woody Woodpecker voice because I think I knew... I didn't know Walter Lance, but I think I knew his wife. Was her name Elizabeth?
What do you mean you think you knew his wife?
I was in a... I'll tell you why I think I know Walter Lance's wife. Was she the one that did... You know, I can't do the voice.
Yeah, that's the woodpecker.
Yeah, Walter Lance's wife was the original laughing voice of Woody Woodpecker.
Well, okay, because I was at the smokehouse in Burbank one night, and yes, I'd had a few, and there was a gal at the bar, and she was putting back a few of these, you know, bourbon and water and so forth and so on. I got to talking with her, me and a couple of guys, and she started, you know, and I don't want to say anything bad, but she, you know, later on in the night when things got interesting, and she started going, like that.
What are you talking about?
When she... You want me to be graphic?
What? Oh, will you come on, man?
Well, I don't know, and I found out that's why...
You realize you're talking about a guy's wife?
Well, I apologize, but I'm just saying... It probably wasn't her. But this gal would go... when...
You know, General, I'm very surprised at you.
All right, forget it. God, what a pain in the ass.
Well, General, if you're going to bring up something like that...
Yeah, I know. If I better bring up something like that...
Are you saying like when the lady...
Never mind, bud.
I'm telling you that later... And I'll tell you, it was the Super 8...
No, we don't have to know the motel.
She's good.
I'm telling you, man. Can I get back to the story about Walter Scott, okay? Thank you, Nikki, for the name. Walter Lang, Walter Lance. Walter Scott was the singer in this group.
Now, hold on for a minute. He's not going to go, or anything like that.
No. That's a terrible thing to say.
I'm saying it probably wasn't her, all right? I should have said this. I knew a girl once who went, when she reached a certain point in the evening. How's that? Do you feel better about that?
Not really, no. Coming from you, no, I don't. Any story like that coming from you sickens me.
Well, you really, boy, I'll tell you, you got the chutzpah you got, kid.
Well, the chutzpah you got. Walter Scott was the lead singer with that group, the Kooban, whatever the hell, Bob Kooban, the Hitman. So anyway, he goes missing. The wife says, geez, I don't know where he went. You know, he was just here. He went out for, you know, a cup of sugar, whatever the hell she said. And he's gone. Prior to that, there's a guy across town whose wife winds up getting killed in a terrible automobile mishap. I'm not even sure it was an accident. I think she went off the road, something like that. Well, cops being cops, you know, it always amazes me, people thinking they're going to get away with certain things, because cops always dig, and they always put stuff together. And the first people they always look at when anybody dies are the spouses.
Yes, the people that are closest to them.
Right.
Why?
Because those are the ones most likely to want to kill somebody. If you're dead or you get murdered, the person most likely to want to kill you is probably somebody you know. So they start with the people closest, husband, wife, family members, doesn't matter who. And it always blows me away, these people who think they're going to get away with it. It's the first people they look at. So they're looking at the spouses, and they find out that Walter Scott's wife, the one that said, oh, gosh, I don't know what happened to him, and this guy whose wife got in the automobile accident.
Oh, they were having an affair.
They were having an affair. And they knew each other, and they were consoling each other, and oh my God, it's just terrible. What happened to them? And the cops, I mean, these people weren't even very good at hiding it because the cops put them under surveillance, and this guy, when her husband went missing, when Walter Scott went missing, he spent the night there, you know?
Yeah, he probably would do that for somebody who you were cared about.
What? What did you say, man?
I said if you cared about somebody.
Well, if you cared about somebody, maybe you're going to stay there. I mean, you're going to spend the night. But in any event, so that's what happened. And they start digging into it. Like, well, look at this. These two are having an affair and this and that and this and that. They start digging into it. But they can never quite find out what happened. And this goes on for years because they don't have a body, you know, corpus delicti, you know.
That mean delicious corpse?
No, it doesn't mean delicious.
No, it's like corpus delicti is a cop term for you got to have the body, I think.
I thought that was habeas corpus.
No, that's produce the body.
Okay, I'm sorry I brought it up. So the cops are like, what the hell happened? Now they get a tip, finally get a tip from somebody that's, guess what, pissed off, or someone feels like they've been cut out of the loop, or somebody who is just... you know, there's always going to be one person that just feels like they got screwed over somehow in some deal. And I forget who it was, but the cops are directed by this tipster to look at was a cement pad that was poured in the backyard. And on top of it is a pot. And when the cops looked at the cement pad, they go, that's kind of interesting. That cement pad is out of place. I mean, why would anybody pour a cement pad right in the middle of the lawn here just to put a pot on it, you know, just to put a potted plant on it? So they take the cement pad off, and what do they find? They find a well. And in the well, not more than 2 feet down, is the body of this poor man, Walter Scott.
He was in the well.
What? What's he doing down there?
Probably tripped and fell in.
No, he didn't trip and fall in. He got shot and put in there. He got shot and thrown down that well. And they found his wallet, everything on him. They found his ID. His hands had been tied behind him, and there was a bullet hole in his back, and there was one in his head. And this was like years later, man. It took him 5 years to finally find this guy. And when they did, and the guy's in the well of his own, I think he's in his own backyard, and his wife is still living in the house. She gets arrested. The whole story comes out. How about that?
That's the guy that Bob Cuban.
Bob Cuban. If you say Cuban one more time, man, there's going to be a fight, okay?
Well, what you're saying.
I said it about 95 times.
But that wasn't Walter Lantz.
No, that was Walter Scott and a good singer, I thought. You know, obviously he was past the years where he had a big hit record. But that band was unusual in that it was a time when the rock and roll started coming out of England, and it was very, very, very different from that kind of... big band rock and roll or R&B that those guys were doing. But they had a hit. They were out of St. Louis, and I think they continued for a few years trying to do regional stuff. But this poor guy's life, the way it ended, man, weird, huh?
Yeah, that is pretty weird. But
all right, so we'll be back with... So we got to have this thing about the stuffing. Is that it?
Well, there's a mom's turkey stuffing, which I know every year we do the recipe. Ted is sickened by the idea. Ted loves stuffing, but apparently he's got a phobia about stuffing turkeys because it reminds him of
a doctor's visit.
Oh, that's right. Yes, it reminds him of It reminds him of a visit to the doctor.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know who's going to do this.
Well, we'll try and get Ted to do it, but he said he loves it. It sickens him, the idea of stuffing a turkey.
Boy, I've heard of some phobias, man, but that's a new one on me. All right, we're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Now, our backstage pass affords you an opportunity to have access to the entire website, 5,000 hours of audio, as well as our video cast and our video cast archive. Or you can get our audio-only backstage pass But whatever you do, hit us up there at philhenryshow.com. We also now have the new gift subscriptions for you. So if you would like to get a gift subscription for the one you love, the one you don't love, the one you barely know, the one that you do know but would rather you didn't know, whoever it is, whatever it is, and why ever it is, be sure to go to philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass so that you can, you know, allow them to enjoy the very thing that you yourself have been enjoying. Be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Coming up on Thursday, it's going to be the Game of the Week with Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman. Thursday's Game of the Week on Thanksgiving. That's tomorrow. The Raiders and Cowboys, right, Bud?
Yeah, 1:30 start.
1:30 in the afternoon. And we'll also have later on in the show Joe Dickhead and the Professor's NFL picks for the weekend because some ball games coming up. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to the program. With me is Ted Bell. I've promised him that we will be as delicate as we can. You said you were going to read these stuffing recipes.
Well, no. I thought I was going to read a recipe for preparing turkey, and then Marcy put this in my hand, and I realized it was for stuffing, and you got to understand, this is very difficult for me to do, okay? Now, this is my mother's turkey recipe. Or my grandmother, excuse me. This is my grandmother's turkey stuffing. What is this, honey? This is the turkey stuffing.
Are you at the restaurant?
Yeah, but my wife's here. This is my grandmother's I'm sorry.
Okay, we've got a problem here.
Hold on, let me just pull it together.
So you got a problem reading the stuffing?
Ah, God. Don't say that word. If you don't say that word, I don't get the visual of a hand going, you know.
You don't want to see the hand.
No, I don't. Thank you, Dickman. I don't want to see the hand.
What do you mean you don't want to see the hand?
You want me to explain it to you? I guess the visual of someone jamming that stuff into a turkey is like, oh, God.
All right.
I have to ask. Ted, did you have a bad experience at a proctologist?
You know what? If I did, I certainly am not going to discuss it on the air, Margaret.
I'm sorry. I understand.
All right. You know, I don't mean to jump on you, but I certainly wouldn't if I had a bad experience at a proctologist. But the answer is yes.
Oh, so, Ted, this is General Shaw. So you did have...
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. And I don't want to go any further into it than that. But the idea of stuffing a turkey...
Well, and let me just add, did Moore see... I know what that exam is supposed to be, and it sounds to me like someone...
Don't say it, please.
All right, well, let me just... Did he apply axle grease all the way to the elbow, or...
Oh!
Come on, General, will you?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what the problem is.
Oh! Wow!
Well, I think that's the answer.
No, I'm not going to go any further with what the answer is. All I'm asking, I'll go ahead and I'll give you the ingredients. Please just no one say the word stuffing.
You just did.
I know. All right, here it is. One loaf of day-old French bread. You cut it into 3/4-inch cubes, about 10 to 12 cups.
That is the stuffing, right?
Would you shut up, Bud?
Dickman, what did I just get done telling you?
Sorry.
Ted, now hold on for a minute. This is General Shaw.
Look, General, I got to get through this.
No, wait just a minute. This is General Shaw. I want to tell you something. Why not face your fear and get through this the best way you can and defeat your fear of that word?
Oh, come on, will you?
No, I'm not kidding. I don't think you should run and hide from that word. I think you should face it down, and I think you should allow us to use that word and just grin and bear it, as they say.
Tough it out, huh?
Yes, tough it out.
I don't know, General. I did.
Let's just do it. Let's just try it, okay? I want you to tough it out. Now, I'll go ahead every now and again and drop in the word that you don't want to hear while you read this recipe. All right?
Yeah, but, General, you don't understand. I mean, when you said axle grease...
No, just never mind. Phil doesn't want us to talk about that. Now, do you understand what I'm saying?
So he's going to tough it out. How is he going to do that?
I just want him to imagine himself on the front line, You're there, and you're in the foxhole. And you're in a foxhole, and we've strung the wire, and you've got to protect the perimeter from your foxhole, just like in that movie Platoon. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I think I did.
All right. And remember when the guy came running back, he said, they're not stopping for crap. Well, I want you to be in that foxhole and keep them out. Do you understand?
I understand, okay.
All right, go ahead.
Let me get my glasses on here. All right, so this is my mom's recipe.
For stuffing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tough it out now. Come on, tough it out.
Yeah. One loaf of day-old French bread cut into 3/4-inch cubes, about 10 to 12 cups. 1 cup of walnuts.
Oh, I see. For the stuffing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
Shut up, bud.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dickman, I want you to be quiet.
2 cups each, chopped onion and celery, 6 tablespoons of butter, 1 green apple, peeled, cored, and chopped.
I bet you this makes good stuffing.
Oh, God, that's disgusting.
What is the point of this? Just, I know what I'm doing. Are you with me, Ted?
Yes, sir. Several, that would be 5 to 10 chopped green olives, martini olives, the ones with the pimento.
I love that in my stuffing.
What you talking, duck?
Be quiet, I told you, Dickman. Shut up. You're doing good, Ted. Stay with me, son.
Yes, sir. Stock from the turkey giblets, 1 cup to 2 cups. You can substitute chicken stock. 1/4 cup chopped fresh parsley. 1 teaspoon of poultry seasoning or ground sage to taste.
Mm-mm. Good tasting stuffing, huh? What the hell? This is a very typical reaction.
Oh, man. I got one more ingredient.
For the stuffing.
Butter! Yes.
Go ahead.
Salt and freshly ground pepper to taste.
I don't like that in my stuffing.
Hey, I'm okay now. I think I made it, General. I think I made it.
Well, that's good. You see, that's all it takes is a little mind over matter. And as I've often said, Phil, mind over matter can cure an awful lot of problems. There he was. There was Ted Bell. And he was thinking that he couldn't get through it. And all he had to do was just... What happened? I think I just heard a gunshot. Let me hear that more clearly. Yeah, there it is.
Man, I'm only kidding.
Get out of here, will you? He can't say the word stuffing.
Well, that sounds ridiculous to me. Is he actually...
I don't know. It did sound like he fired off not a gun, but a gun sound effect. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. All right, Ted, way to do it, man. And I don't know if anybody actually wrote that recipe down. I was listening as carefully as I could, and it sounded pretty damn good.
I almost started to write it down, but when Ted began vomiting and dry heaving, it was...
Yeah, I lost my appetite, too.
That's his grandmother's recipe. I don't know what's different. Oh, you got to use a Dutch oven. Is Ted Dutch?
He looks it.
He looks it. All right, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the last of that. We also did a little bit of a traffic report for you earlier. Now, the weather thing is goofy, and by goofy, I don't mean goofy as in ha-ha. I mean that, you know, the weather around the country has been nasty as hell. And as we mentioned to you last night, there was the possibility that upwards of 100 million people would be affected. Now,
As of the headline this evening, weather walloping the East Coast as roughly 43 million are traveling for Thanksgiving. Now, I wonder if that's because the news has finally gotten out to the public at large. It's going to be a rough travel holiday, and it's better that you stay home.
Well, I think that's the smart thing to do. And also, I think you made the point yesterday. I agree. Stay home for that ridiculous Black Friday.
You nuts or something? Black Friday's the best.
Black Friday is a big fat con. Everybody piles into the store for garbage. That's all it is. I think Black Friday is jazz, man. I wouldn't stand 5 minutes. But anyway, a wall of storms packing ice, sleet, and rain could upend holiday travel plans as millions of Americans take to the roads, skies, and rails Wednesday for Thanksgiving. So far, the deadly storms barreling into the mid-Atlantic and Northeast have not resulted in many flight delays or cancellations. How about that? But forecasters were expecting the weather to worsen throughout the day. The timing of the storm couldn't be worse, said Chris Vaccaro, spokesman for the National Weather Service headquarters in Silver Spring, Maryland. We're seeing numerous threats as the storm is beginning to develop and intensify. Many travelers marveled at how orderly and anxiety-free the airports were during what is typically one of the busiest days of the year. Probably a lot of people are staying home, too, you know, because people, they get the word and they begin to get the reality of the situation, and people say, I ain't even going to deal with it. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm staying home, and that is that. All right, guys, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. 855-500-7445, and online at philhendryshow.com, of course, with our live video cast this year, Thanksgiving, Halloween. Must be your face, bud.
You're the one wearing a mask.
Yeah. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is our chilled-out, Thanksgiving weekend with all this groovy music that Bud's picking for us.
Bud, I don't know what can you want.
Just something that's going to rock a little bit. You know, I don't need to be laying down after the meal just yet. Loosening the belt, you know.
Well.
Anyway, welcome back here on our Thanksgiving night show. Not that it's, you know, anything of great note, because we realize a lot of you guys are out, you know, traveling in your cars, or perhaps you're walking. I'm joking, of course.
Well, I wonder how many people are not flying as opposed to...
Yeah, a lot of people like driving a car.
The easiest thing I would think to do would, not easiest, but the more preferable of the two, the more preferable of the three options would be to be on a train, don't you think?
I think everything is jam-packed.
But I think the train is less likely to be affected by the weather. How is train travel going to be affected by the weather?
What about the rails freeze?
The rails freeze? I've never heard of anything like that.
No, the rails are not going to freeze. You might get an accumulation of snow and ice, which quite possibly could affect the rails in terms of their ability to guide the train. But it wouldn't be a dangerous situation, and the engineers are certainly... well-versed in that kind of weather eventuality. I would think, Phil, you're right, that the...
You feel like laying down?
No, I'm hungry, though.
Go get some more, something else to eat. Like, what do you got there?
Get some White Castle.
Yeah, go get him some White Castle. Well, speaking of White Castle, didn't I see... Never mind.
That was disgusting. The different things people stuff turkeys with. I don't know how big someone...
You don't know how big what?
How big someone's ass is supposed to get?
A lot of people want a big ass, I'll tell you that.
Well, if you're stuffing your turkey with White Castle hamburgers, you've thrown caution to the wind, man, you know. I think anybody under the age of 30, probably under the age of 40, stuffing a turkey with White Castle hamburgers, fantastic. Great idea. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Over the age of 40, especially if you're a guy in heart attack country and you're doing that, I don't know, you know.
You ever do a rib eating contest?
I did a rib eating contest once. Yeah, I was in my 20s. A rib eating contest, I think that's different. I mean, that's just ribs, you know. We're not talking about deep fried whatever. You're talking about ribs. A rib eating contest is you're stuffing a lot of food in your face, but it's not, I don't think it's anything that's like life-threatening or health-threatening. I did it for a charity, And I was part of a radio station I worked for, and we had a table of six guys. And it was at Tony Roma's, the rib restaurant. So they piled a big stack of ribs in front of us, and we went to it. And there were a lot of damn ribs, but I'll tell you, we polished them off, and we did it pretty fast. It was basically the fastest guys to finish this big stack of ribs that they stuck in front of your face would be the winners. And I thought we were doing pretty good, but there was a table full of...
Were they a bunch of fat guys?
No, they were not a bunch of fat guys. They were normal-sized guys. I didn't see a table full of, quote, fat guys at all. I just saw a bunch of guys in varying ages, you know, and I guess maybe some of them bigger than others, but there wasn't any big tubs of guts sitting there. But I thought we did pretty good, you know. We're just polishing off these ribs left and right. I mean, how fast can you eat a rib? And the next thing, I'm looking over at these other dudes, man, they kicked our ass.
Well, what are they doing? Are they inhaling it or something?
They must have some technique. It's like I was the judge for the most painful eating exhibition I ever saw was a hot chili pepper contest that I was the judge for in Miami. And it was like a restaurant that was a sponsor of ours, and they had a jalapeno chili pepper eating contest. So I go to this thing, and there were four guys, and in front of them were these bowls of chili peppers. Now, this is not a situation where you need to refill the bowls because they're on some kind of a clock. It is essentially the following test. How many of those can you eat, you know?
How many did they have there?
I don't know. Maybe they had 50 or 60 chili peppers in front of these guys. And I don't know how long the contest was supposed to go, but I think it was whoever ate the most, you know, whoever was... And they judged how many you ate by the stems. You know, jalapeno peppers have those stems on them. So anyway, boom, there's the start of the contest, and these guys are chucking these things down. I'm like, I can't. There's no way in hell.
You know, the chili, and the other one is the hot pepper that they use down in Vietnam. Well, it'll burn your eyeballs out. And I think, I don't know.
Well, this was not that. This was just jalapeno peppers. Anyway, the guy that won finished the whole bowl, okay? And he finished the whole bowl of peppers, and he was sitting there, and he looked no worse for the wear. And I don't think any of the guys were. I think to be able to eat those things, you have to have a certain kind of chemistry. You physically have to be able to do it. I think there's some of us that can take that kind of food and some can't. I like spicy food, but I cannot eat one hot pepper after the next. The last time I did that, well...
I know this story. The last time you did that, you were drunk.
We'd been drinking pitchers of beer, yeah. And that was a long time ago.
Yeah, next day, it's like you're napalm.
Yes, it's like napalm. So anyway, the guy who finally won, I said to him, I said, geez, you know, how'd you do? He says, this is nothing. He said, the guy was from Jamaica, and he ate those Scotch bonnets. Now, that's a round pepper, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, a Scotch bonnet is the same as a habanero, which is a super hot pepper. And this guy said, the jalapeno is nothing, man. Where I come from, we eat those Scotch bonnet peppers, and they're just, you know, it's like popping a cherry bomb in your mouth, you know, and it's exploding all the time. So... that I couldn't believe it, you know, and I still can't believe it. And the hottest food, I guarantee you've never had food hotter in your life than Sri Lankan food. And there was that restaurant in Minneapolis.
Yes, I know they closed it down. I tried to find them. It's closed down. And I think because of what you said about that restaurant, I'm glad they closed it down. They probably killed a few people with the kind of spicy food you're talking about.
Well, it was pretty spicy. It didn't kill anybody, but it was pretty damn spicy, yeah. And it's made in Sri Lanka. All right.
What's that?
Sri Lanka is an island nation that is south of India. It's in the ocean below India. It's an island.
What?
But if you got to be able to look at a map, okay?
Yeah, it's India?
It's below India. It's the island underneath India.
So it's not India?
No, it ain't India, man. It's Sri Lanka. It's different from India. Okay?
I'm looking right now, and I see India. Okay, I'll have it in a minute.
Yeah, well, you do that, man. You look for it.
Hey, India is where?
Are you guys kidding me or something?
No, that is right there.
No, that's Catalina. Are you kidding? You got to be kidding.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's California. I'm sorry.
Did he point to Catalina?
What do you think you're looking at, Robert?
No, man, I knew that California. I thought that was India.
That ain't India. That's California.
Well, where's India?
Well, isn't that an interesting question? You got to be able to find India before you can find Sri Lanka, okay?
Well, how are you supposed to find India?
Well, I don't know. You got to be able to read a map. You got to know something about the world. You got to be able to look at a globe and kind of know beforehand where things are. You should have known by now, bud. At the age of 20, you ought to know by now where roughly India is.
That's Denmark.
Denmark? Are you kidding me or something?
Man, I know it ain't California.
Well, then why were you guys looking at Catalina telling me that's Sri Lanka?
Ain't it spelled that way?
No, S-R-I. Sri Lanka. How long is it going to take you, jackasses? It's right there.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, the one that says Sri Lanka on it.
Is that India there?
That's India there. Wow.
Woo!
So anyway, that's the country Sri Lanka, and that's where they have all that really hot food, and that's where, you know, that's where that happens, man. All that. Loving these guys or what, man? Okay. Coming back, man, we're going to get off of Thanksgiving. We're going to get on to sports. We got Joe Dickhead and the Professor with their picks, their National Football League picks for this coming weekend. Now, I've got to find out. I don't know what the criteria is this week, but it's going to be different from last week, which was simply a coin flip. They got a whole different criteria having to do with the names of the teams. So we're going to find out in moments here with Joe Dickhead and the Professor, the NFL picks. And then tomorrow, of course, it's going to be Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman with the Game of the Week. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.